Hi, I'm Heather Mulder.
And I'm Janice Greeno, and you're listening to Dementia Untangled, where we explore the topic of dementia through conversations with physicians, experts, and community leaders.
Our discussions focus on innovative ideas, practical strategies, and proven methods to guide caregivers along a supportive path.
Hello, and welcome to Dementia Untangled. Thank you for joining us for this episode of our podcast.
Today, our conversation will be with Diana Shulakos, a former caregiver, mom, entrepreneur, and founding executive director of Lorenzo's House. And we're going to be discussing younger onset Alzheimer's. When we think of Alzheimer's and other dementias, the typical person that comes to mind is probably an older adult. Of the 6 million Americans living with Alzheimer's disease, there's an estimated 300,000 to 360,000 that are under the age of 65, according to Mayo Clinic. Now, to clarify, sometimes there's confusion around the terms that are used to describe this. Someone who's living with early stage Alzheimer's disease is living at the beginning portion of the disease. Someone who's living with early onset or younger onset has developed symptoms under the age of 65. So someone who's living with younger onset or early onset Alzheimer's disease can also be in early stage or moderate or advanced stage. People who are living with young onset often start developing their symptoms in their 40s or 50s, which puts them at a dramatically different time in their life. Instead of living in their golden years in retirement, they may be in the prime of their career. In previous conversations on Dementia Untangled, we talked with Jay Reinstein and Arthena Kasten, who are living with young onset Alzheimer's disease and had to leave their careers because of their diagnosis. Instead of an empty nester, someone with young onset may have young children at home as well. And we spoke with Katie Brandt, who shared her experience with that as well. Dementias are often called family diseases, meaning they're not diseases that only affect the individual. They affect the entire family, and that entire family can include young children. How can they best be supported and empowered for families who are living with younger onset dementia and also with young kids?
Heather, this year, I had the honor of attending the deeply moving Lorenzo's House We Bring Light annual event. And I was so inspired by Diana, her story, and the way she has brought light to the darkness and isolation for families who have been impacted by younger onset dementia. And I was especially impacted by the way families and young people, even people early in their early teens, and I understand even 6 years old and up, how they are incredibly empowered in joining Diana and the Lorenzo's House team in connecting with, understanding, commonality, support, and strength to share with and for one another and to share with so many around the world. Her impact is incredibly inspiring, and I am so grateful to get to have a conversation with Diana today.
Welcome, Diana. Thank you for joining our conversation.
Hi, Heather and Janice. Thank you so much for welcoming me today. So grateful, and I speak for our entire Lorenzo's House community for giving us this platform to share our mission and to spread our mission, because so many families who are walking with younger onset dementia need to know about us.
Before we learn more about Lorenzo's House, I really want to learn some more about you. Tell us about your journey and what led you to connect with the dementia community.
I got really lucky with love. I met my husband, Lorenzo, the night I moved to Chicago in 1989. And fast forward about 30 years, we were confronted with younger onset Alzheimer's. My husband was diagnosed And our sons were about 9 and 11 when Praying Jane showed up in our house, a little older when he was actually diagnosed. But I often call this a diagnosis of the family because of its far-reaching impact. So we knew nothing about Alzheimer's, and we had to sort of wear this new identity and figure out how we were going to respond to it.
So in the midst of all this, you decide to start Lorenzo's House. Tell me where that decision came from.
Well, you know, younger families who walk with dementia are, you know, we often will share that we are sort of this unseen, misunderstood, under-resourced, and really often, too often, misdiagnosed or undiagnosed niche group in the dementia space. And what I realized very quickly was that there was no place for my family. There was no place for us to land and belong. While there were bright spots in some hospitals or a caregiver support group here, there was no sort of central hub for us to connect. And there was virtually nothing for my kids. So I started to explore the idea of, well, maybe I could leverage my history and my experience as an entrepreneur and build something in this space. And I did some due diligence and realized that not only regionally, but nationally, there was no one hub unapologetically for younger families. And so I thought maybe we could build some place where we could belong, where families could land, where families could connect, exchange resources, heal this thing we called isolation, which is so huge in the families, and bring connection and light and hope and strength to each other on our journey.
Well, you have definitely done that. And thank you so much for sharing a little about your story and about Lorenzo. And my heart is just moved when you said, I found myself with no place for my family and nothing for my kids. Tell me a little bit more about that time in your life.
When brain change happens in a home, in our home, and I, you know, I always will say that when you have seen one case of dementia, you've seen one case of dementia. And our story is unique. It's how it showed up in my Lorenzo and how it showed up in our home and how it impacted me and touched Justin and Lucas. And when I think back about witnessing our sons, you know, how, you know, to witness our sons experiencing brain change has been probably the hardest thing I've ever had to experience. And it's confusing for kids. And, you know, I, for me and for our family, I think what happened was we were very much in denial at first. And I really, truly thought that we were going to be the first family to beat Alzheimer's. And I soon realized that maybe that's not going to be the case, but what can we do? Our home, for me, as a former educator, I sort of looked at the caregiving experience as best I could, because you're just overwhelmed by the fact that there's this new diagnosis in the family and that it's a brain condition that we know the ending, we know the outcome. And that was really hard to wrap my head around. So I was really focused on mindset. Mindset was very important to me. And I would root my days, and I try to root my lifestyle in just many moments of gratitude and seeing sacred moments. And I think that that is what has been kind of the driver for me as a carer that really got me through. We sort of looked at our home in a different way. We sort of rearranged our home and saw it more like a museum. We swapped out the family dining room table for a pool table. We put a bistro in the corner, because maybe we weren't going to get to Paris, but we can go to Paris every morning. And we used music as a way to, you know, really bring light to the home. We were using improv so often. Improv was such a part of how we led our days and redirected our conversations and our experience. And I think the love that we have for our loved ones is kind of put to a unique test in that, how are we as carers going to rethink and redefine what love looks like? And the more we understand this condition, the more we're able to show up and love our and support our loved one and our sons and our children if we have children. So I was able to do pieces of this, but I was really in isolation. I had known one other woman who was walking this journey who was younger, but her kids were in their 20s and 30s. So I felt very isolated and not really knowing who could sort of be that match for me, that profile who matched my profile, somebody who I could connect with and walk this with, whether it was just a few texts or Zooms or conversations. So that's, I think, what really led me to say, gosh, there's no way that we're the only family out here and we've got to find a way to connect. And especially for our children, there was no one that my sons could connect with and who identified their experience with their experience.
I think another unique aspect about your journey is really sort of this intersection of personal and professional. Now, prior to Lorenzo's house, you actually helped to create a charter school called Perspectives in inner city Chicago, which focused on social emotional learning and created the disciplined life education model. How were you able to take this experience to help shape Lorenzo's house?
Yeah, I'm an educator by heart and by training, and my experience in Chicago working with a team of incredible educators was a huge part of sort of my mindset of thinking, well, maybe I can build something in the dementia space. A colleague and I founded Perspectives when we were in our 20s, because we thought we could rethink how education was done. And at that time, Chicago was ripe for innovation. And we started a small school with 40 students and two teachers. And today that school is turned into five schools with about 2,300 students and about 200 staff. I was there for 24 years and then left. But I think the core components that come with me is just the entrepreneurial mindset of I have lived leveraging an idea and knowing what it takes to bring it to life and knowing that startup mindset and knowing that startup lifestyle. It is for a unique group of people who want to build something where there's nothing. And so I came with that. And I also have such a deep passion for social and emotional teaching and learning, and pieces of that beautifully have sort of woven into the work that we're doing with our young people at Lorenzo's house, although I don't think that was, I never knew that was going to happen. And it has, and we can talk about that later, but that's, I think, you know, gives you a sense of sort of why I thought maybe Lorenzo's house is something that can really get on the map, because there, after some due diligence, I realized, as I said before, this is a gap regionally and nationally and even globally. And Lorenzo's house can fill that gap. And what we've found is that there's this incredible enthusiasm from experts in the field that Lorenzo's house is here. And so there's plenty of work to be done.
The story about how you took the initiative in starting this charter school and where it has gone now, and then how this helped to shape Lorenzo's house and build this space for young people to have voices and for a place where there was nothing for your kids. Now there's a place for kids and they are sharing in leadership and just doing incredible things that are so vitally important. Tell us a little more about how you champion supporting kids whose parents have been diagnosed with a dementia.
So Lorenzo's house, imagine, I founded it out of my son's bedroom in just 3 years ago. And I had an intern from Loyola University, Bree, who started this with me for a few hours a week. And the vision was big. You know, it was more like, let's empower the entire family. Let's have a memory academy, a day program for our loved ones. Let's have healing respite spaces for our primary care partner. Let's create these youth initiatives that are going to really support our kids. And since that time, what's happened in the last 3 years is that we've really naturally, as I do my best to build something, I'm always about listening to the voices of our community and what do we need. And What I've found and what we've found is that our kids are really oftentimes the ones who have this, where this experience is the hardest, yet their voice is the softest. And at the same time, I feel like we have found that if we use our kids as a compass, that's kind of one of our mantras, is using our kids as a compass at Lorenzo's house. Maybe that's going to bring us to a closer, refined mission. So one of the things we found is that we've been focusing on our youth, and there's three different ways that we support our kids, our young people. When we talk about young people, we're talking about 6-year-olds all the way to 40-year-olds, and unapologetically, exclusively young people, daughters and sons of a parent who has been diagnosed and is walking with younger onset dementia of any form, or has lived with it and has already passed, but continues to walk this journey in many ways, because oftentimes people will think, well, your loved one has passed, and there's sort of this end to the journey. And it's just not really what we're finding. So the three things that we do is our match program, which connects it's a one-on-one youth care to youth care connection with a peer who understands, to share insights and resources and friendship. That's, and that could be a connection that could last two texts or one Zoom, or it could be a long-term support. That is both for our youth and for our care partners, male and female care partners. My match is a woman in California, and we to this day have text on a weekly. She lost her husband about 6 months prior to my Lorenzo having passed. And it's just it's a connection that kind of, we share this sisterhood, this unique visceral connection that kind of happens so quickly when you find someone who is walking with brain change. So that's match. That's for youth and for our adults. And then there's our clubs. Our Light Club is the youth virtual. It's a support group is what you could say that, but really what it is, it's a virtual hangout for youth who really guide these sessions. We have a clinical licensed social worker who is in these sessions, but it's a beautiful hour where young people come together and we open with a mindfulness technique. We're really bringing mindfulness strategies and techniques into everything we do, both in our staff meetings, board meetings, and in our Light Clubs and in our programming. And so we open with a mindfulness breathing technique, and then we bring in sort of updates on how's everybody doing. And then there's time for journaling and then responding to a question that maybe the youth have come up with. And then it's a conversation that can be deeply about our youth experience as a carer. But a lot of times kids don't see themselves as carers. They don't want to be called a caregiver, right? We're learning so much from our kids. And then there's this opportunity for kids to share and connect. And then we usually close with the head, heart, and feet. What did we learn, and what did we experience, and what are we going to do moving forward? And it's a really beautiful hour-long session where I think our kids are learning coping techniques and self-regulation techniques. And a lot of times they will say that they bring what they're learning in our Light Clubs into their own home. And there are times when we do focused pieces on what the brain looks like before and after you breathe, and the connection and the exchange of our kids it's remarkable, because more often than not, 95% of the time, our youth who come into our Light Clubs, it'll be the first time that they have ever connected with another youth. And then from our Light Clubs comes matches. So we might have an Alexa Grace who's connected to an Alicia, and they then will have their own match on the side. And so it's this beautiful medley of having sort of a one-on-one opportunity and also joining a Light Club. And our Light Clubs are they're in three different age groups as well, which allows for sort of age appropriate conversations. And then the last piece is our summit. And our summit is so powerful. Our summit it started in 2021, 6 months into our founding. And we've connected with about 21 youth in 2021. And we brought our kids together virtually. And we had a day where we partnered with Yale University Art Gallery, HFC, UChicago Medicine. And we shared stories, and we brought in how art can be used in the home in such a beautiful way. We shared how The more we learn about the brain, the more we're able to be better for ourselves, our loved ones. It was a beautiful initial start. And then the next year we had almost 50 youth, and this past year we had almost 100, and next year we plan to have probably 200 youth. Right now it's almost like 35 states and 6 countries are coming to our youth summit. So Lorenzo's House is serving now, because we're virtual, both sort of regionally and nationally and internationally. So those are the three areas. It's our match, it's our clubs, and it's our summit, where our youth have an opportunity to connect. There are other pieces that are evolving. Our stigma work, our kids have really taken us in this beautiful direction around being advocates for, you know, there's this language we use at Lorenzo's House, that we are healing isolation, right? We're curing isolation, and we're building this community. And as a result, we're creating dementia justice. And I think that that language is because our kids, and I say our kids, meaning our young people, our youth. And when I say young people, it's a range, but I think that dementia justice piece is beautiful, because it brings out this advocacy component that we're really, really working toward. Our kids who are walking with brain change in their home with a mom or a dad understand this experience, this condition, more intimately than anyone. And they will be our, you know, they'll be our informers and our thought leaders in the future, our neurologists and our policymakers and our social workers. And so we need to really develop that cohort of leadership from the people who truly understand it the way our kids understand it, because they're living it. So we are, from our programming, we're evolving this, and it's naturally happening, this sort of core leadership, ambassadorship, that's really beautiful. And it's interesting, because the social emotional piece is woven through this in so many ways. You know, when you talk about the social emotional work with a disciplined life at Perspectives in Chicago, this concept of dementiacator is a term we're coining, which is really merging this idea of, I understand dementia. I've lived it, and this idea of I've lived it in whatever, whether I'm a care son or daughter or primary care partner or friend of, and then I'm educating, meaning I am dismantling stigma. I am learning about this condition so that I can be a voice. And what we're learning is that we are the storytellers, right? Because our loved ones will not tell their stories. And that's pretty provocative to think about, right? So with Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia, care families are the storytellers. And, you know, Lorenzo and Justin and Lucas and our little story is just one in thousands and thousands that are making up this community. And it is our collective stories that will bring about more awareness. It is our collective stories, when connected, we will be able to find strength and understanding and empathy and the healing of isolation. So the Lorenzo's House is a little miracle is what it is.
I love hearing the story of the start of Lorenzo's House and how it's grown and changed and adapted and helped people harness their voice and their story. As I think of our listeners, you know, this may be the first time they're hearing of families who are living with younger onset, with maybe young kids at home. From your experience and with both caring for your sweet husband and with Lorenzo's House, how would you advise people, how can they best support a family who's living with younger onset dementia?
Thank you for that question. It's such an important question. And I will answer as best just from my perspective. I think, first of all, it's important to know, and this I want to say in a best of ways, which is that, like, no one gets it. You can't understand what families are experiencing, the consistency, the day after day experience that brain change has on a family. You can't understand. So try not to say you understand, or that's not, and that's okay. You're not supposed to understand. But I think if a family is younger, I think it's also important to know that it's different for families that are younger. You know, we are raising younger children often. We suddenly become single parents and single breadwinners, and
we're forced to leave careers often, we lose income, our dreams were sort of set on fire. The idea, and when our kids are young, it's often delayed or non-qualified for Medicare, right? And then our youth experience this complex, confusing disease. So as a friend, neighbor, sister on the outside, those are the layers to this that's different than when it comes, when someone's diagnosed later in life. And I think one of the, the best way to say this is try to be, as a friend, consistent in some way that makes sense. Just don't ghost the family, right? Our lives are very busy. Our lives are very, very busy. But I feel like if you can make some link, even if it's sending a candle every 3 months, whether it's sending flowers every 2 months, fresh cut flowers on the, you know, at the doorstep, or don't ask, can I bring a meal? Can I bring cookies? Don't ask, just do something. And it doesn't have to be a ton, but just don't ghost a family. Let them know that you are out there across the street or down the street, or you're a sister or brother. Give a call, even if they don't pick up, and don't take anything personally that this family is going through or what a caregiver might be saying. We are, you know, we are not our full selves, just like our loved one is not their full self.
I'm wondering now, what about your best piece of advice for a family living with young onset dementia?
Gosh, I don't have advice. I always say, like I said earlier, when you've seen one case of dementia, you've seen one case, and we all experience this differently. It shows up in our loved one, our person, differently. But for me, it was about, I think it was about mindset, really trying to live every day inside a mindset of what is right and good, what we can be grateful for, and that every day can be a holiday in some way, some moment we can find sacred moments. I think that that would be my piece, is this mindset of gratitude. And I would also say, and this is the real big piece, and it was hard for me, is that if you can have the courage to reach out and ask for some support from others who are walking this experience, you know, send an email to, you know, to our Lorenzo's House community, if you are a younger family, and have the courage to push send. That's hard. I remember the first time I reached out for help, and it wasn't in the first year or the second year or the third year. I could do this on my own, but I do believe that there's this sisterhood and this brotherhood out here. You know, younger families are here. And I do believe that if we are connected, if we do nothing but connect and know that we're not alone, there's so much power in that. There's so much power in that. So I think mindset of gratitude for what is good and right. And then this idea of the courage to connect, the courage to reach out, would be my two pieces of sort of insight.
Thank you so much for sharing your personal journey and your inspiring stories around Lorenzo's House. Before we close today, I would love for you to give us your final thought when it comes to life with younger onset dementia.
Young families are here. Young families living with dementia are here. There are hundreds and thousands of us. We are living with brain change, and we need each other. And we need each other to help us heal our isolation, to help us find connection to someone who understands. And Lorenzo's House is that hub for younger families today.
Today, our conversation has been with Diana Shulakos, a former caregiver, mom, entrepreneur, and founding executive director of Lorenzo's House. We appreciate you helping us untangle younger onset Alzheimer's disease and Lorenzo's House. And for our listeners, if you want to connect with Diana and Lorenzo's House, you can visit their website at lorenzoshouse.org.
Thank you so much, Diana, for joining us today. I just want to thank you and the whole Lorenzo's House community for being, as one participant had shared, for being a lifeline. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you, Janice and Heather and Amber and your team at Untangled. What you're doing it's so important for our community. Thank you so much, both as a carer, as a family, and also as a woman who's, you know, growing an organization in this space. please continue to do what you do. We're so grateful.
That means so much to us. And thank you, Heather, for this deep and powerful conversation. Thank you, Amber. And thank you to you, our listeners. Thank you for joining us. And if you haven't already, please subscribe, review, and share this podcast. I'm looking forward to our next conversation on Dementia Untangled. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Dementia Untangled. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dementia Untangled is hosted by Heather Mulder and Janice Greeno, produced and edited by Amber Ayers, and is brought to you by Banner Alzheimer's Institute and Banner Sun Health Research Institute. We are supported by generous donations to the Banner Alzheimer's Foundation.
Please visit our website at bannerhealth.com/Alzheimer's and follow us on Facebook to learn about upcoming events. If you have questions or comments, please email us at dementiauntangled@bannerhealth.com.